and the stars and stripes we can tell. This dream's in sight. You've got to admit it at this point in time that it's clear. The future looks bright on that train, all graphite and glitter, undersea by rail. 90 minutes from New York to Paris, well by 76 we'll be A-OK.
What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free.
The streets and interiors of Vegas are always full of good music. But this time, more tunes I love than any previous trip.
Is it the Kiwi?
Or do they have some new kind of machines that read my mind and then play my faves as I walk down the street or through a casino? I remember the original International Geophysical Year from 57 to 58 and the Sputnik which was launched during it. As I said in an earlier collage, thanks, Sputnik.
Day 3. While at the Bellagio enjoying its food, drinks, and dogs, I walk over to the Bellagio Cafe to inquire when a good time would be to go for breakfast there. I had read online they have a lobster omelet. I've never had a lobster omelet. It sounds like a really good food idea, though I've never had lobster for breakfast and wonder if it is indeed a breakfast food. My bus pass expires at 8 o'clock. So I'm out of the Excalibur shortly after 7 to walk over to the bus stop. It is Vancouver cold at that time of the morning. It is a long, windy walk around a cold lake, but the wind creates some exquisite waves, and then I am back in warmth, in the cocoon of the Bellagio. After saluting my dog friends, I'm at the cafe, earlier than I was told was a good time, but it's large and largely empty. I sit down. A woman with a small baby is beside me. I order some tea. It's chamomile and vastly better than Bouchon's vaguely adulterated hot water yesterday morning, but that isn't hard to do. I order the omelet and it arrives. It is a serious meal, not where I'm at in the morning. The lobster lives again in my appreciation. The red peppers, the tomatoes, and most of all the asparagus are a line into the sort of meal one would recommend to anybody. Lobster has always been very rare dinner food for me, and the number of times I've had lobster for lunch can be counted on the fingers of one hand, if that. But breakfast lobster? You're kidding. No, it's really good.
I'm going to have the Admiral Kelsey special. That's the mm-hmm. Seaman's Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tail hook of lobster, fillet of Navy SEAL, pastrami on thigh, and hold the women.
You gotta go through a gantlet to get it, but yeah. Okay.
Unlike the Venetian, the Bellagio doesn't pound you with its art. It's airier, and its beauty invites your powers of discovery. Unlike Bouchon's plastic-like crepes, the omelet at the Bellagio Cafe breathes and invites breath. The neighboring baby shows interest in my involvement with the exemplary omelet and the great tea matched, as Bouchon used to do, with exquisite honey. I try and smile at the baby as often as I can, which, considering what I'm eating, is very often indeed. Everyone leaves. Me too. I get a new room at the Excalibur, and with some difficulty, I'm reconnected to its tricky Wi-Fi. After some more reading, I wander back over to the Paris and ask about my missing shades. "We were waiting for you to come back for them," says the lady at the entrance desk, which is where I'd left them on Tuesday. She promises someone upstairs will deliver them to me, and I ascend the scenic elevator to the Eiffel Tower restaurant. It ain't in the same aesthetic galaxy as the real Eiffel Tower, but it ain't bad at all. I am ebullient.
Seems he was at the Eiffel Waffle, and he got a chance to use his only piece of French, which is "J'ai une pièce de résistance," or "things are looking up." That's what he said to the driver, exhausting it. One blow, there's the blow again, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
His entire knowledge of French and himself, so he's coming home.
He was talking about the resistance movement, though.
Right. Home on the Range, the resistance movement.
Mm.
Right.
My favorite crepes are gone. When I inquire, I'm told they vanished from the menu 2 years ago. Obviously, shortly after I was last here, lapping up their savory wonder. Well, missing crepes, and thus crepes of memory, are slightly less disappointing than Keller's plastic-trophic sloppiness yesterday. I order the shrimp cocktail, and a real cocktail, the Hollywood Margarita. I figure the lime would amplify the shrimp, pointed in a useful direction.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault.
These trips are all about what I can learn from them. Where to go with a vegetable, a prawn, a mushroom, the most delectable piece of fruit. And the knowledge of that is pouring into the city. Let it pour into me. 1960, summer, Saskatchewan, outside of Regina somewhere. My family stops for dinner. I notice someone eating something pale in voluminous red sauce and ice cubes. It was summer, and those ice fantasies reached out to me. My parents allowed me to order it, or more accurately, it was shared by us all. It was a shrimp cocktail. It was the first animal I'd ever eaten in my life. When we discovered we were actually eating animals, the wondrous taste of the shrimp with the seductive cocktail sauce, so alien to our bland diets, we suddenly looked upon our feast with horror, or at least I did.
When you can't stand the pace in the big rodent race, come on in where it's safe, where the menu is trained. There's a smell in the air that reminds you of hair. You've got something to get, and it looks like your pain. Some rat parts and fry them up real nice. Then we skin the kitties and barbecue the mice. Guts in a cup, yum! Mouse on a stick, wow! French fried fleas and beer battered tits.
Right in a box.
We fry what you want.
Right in a box.
We fry what you want.
Right in a box.
We fry what you want.
As far as I knew, the family never consumed any more animals until the Cuban Missile Crisis a couple years later. This wasn't that shrimp cocktail. It was a whole lot of shrimp for noon. The Hollywood Margarita did not help. Its lime did not add the dose of limeness to the shrimp I was expecting initially. But that changed as the beverage warmed up into a friendlier state.
You can't squeeze any sense out of that limey's juice.
That's right, Chief. The more juice, the better.
Not in my country club.
Offered two sauces, American and French. The French tasted like mayonnaise and was undoubtedly related. I experiment with the sauces, the limey margarita and the lemon. I have my shades back. Everything is just fine. Behind me, some people are discussing Alexa from the perspective of ownership. I once again own my shades. Reading The Dispossessed, its critique of ownership is as relevant to my hourly life as it would be to the characters of the novel's anarchist society. Could an anarchist society have created either the Paris, France, or the Vegas Paris Hotel's Eiffel Tower? I doubt it. What a waste of material that should be used for greater societal benefit.
Everyone shouted. Vea said, "But tell us about Anaris. What's it really like? Is it really so wonderful there?" "I don't know," he said. His tongue felt half paralyzed. "No, it is not wonderful. It's an ugly world. Not like this one. Anaris is all dusty and dry hills. All meager, all dry, and the people aren't beautiful. They have big hands and feet, like me and the waiter there, but not big bellies. Life is dull and work hard. You can't always have what you want or even what you need because there isn't enough. You, Erasti, have enough. Enough air, enough rain, grass, oceans, food, music, buildings, factories, machines, books, clothes, history. You are rich. You own. We are poor. We lack. You have. We do not have. Everything is beautiful here. Only not the faces. On Anaris, nothing is beautiful. Except the faces. We have nothing but that, nothing but each other, because our men and women are free. Possessing nothing, they are free. And you, the possessors, are possessed. You are all in jail, each alone, solitary, with a heap of what he owns. You live in a prison, die in a prison. It is all I can see. It's all I see in your eyes. The wall. The wall.
The cocktail is abandoned. The shrimp is wrangled. On my way back to the Excalibur, I buy a can of Angry Orchard Easy, a brand we don't have in Vancouver, and a Mike's Black Cherry Lemonade. Traveling some productive paths with blackberries and black cherries and fruit of that proclivity on this trip. Let's see what Mike can do for me. The Easy Angry is really good. I drift back into 50s L.A. in Osman's novel.
I walk out of the station house into a cold, thick fog that wraps me up like a mummy's purse. I figure what I need is anything that doesn't feel like a tide pool at twilight. I got ooze in my shoes. My hat's holding onto my noggin like a seal pup on a pointed rock. What I needed was a warm heart, a clean tie, and a couple of car keys to jangle together. And I knew where I could get them, too. Mr. Easy's.
On 14th, past the post office, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to work in a plush joint like that one time. Boogie Woogie downstairs, bingo upstairs, and rooms by the hour in the back, yeah. Cabbies and coppers keep those kind of houses humming.
It's a case of nobody knowing which hand is scratching whose back. My back? It needed scratching in the worst way.
Oh, say, Maxie, you're a sight for sick cheaters.
Oh.
Say, how come I only see you after they use your map to wipe off the bar?
Mm.
Oh, geez, honey. Let me get that mouse of yours a fresh steak.
Oh, turn up the Turkish bath, baby. I got a itch like a old Swiss picnic full of chiggers.
Well, you know me, Maxie. There's always a cup of Jamocha smoking on the back burner for you. How's about I kiss your cares away, honey?
Do your worst, kid. Everybody else has.
Oh, Maxie.
Hell of a name for a babe like that, huh? Mr. Easy.
My reservation at Twist is at 6. The Mandarin Hotel has to be the mellowest place in Vegas. It is always a joy to come here. The corns that have been making walking painful have been easily eased back into comfort by some corn pads from the drugstore on my way between hotels. A hotel person ushers me into the elevator as I enter the hotel, and sitting on a delightful little bench, I ascend. In the lobby, a wee robot addresses me. I think we will see a lot more of their kin in days to come. I ask the robot, Pepper, if Twist is yet open. Always try to be early. Pepper does not understand or have that information. I ask a human at the desk, and am told Twist will open in a couple of minutes. My belief in a future full of fun robots momentarily disabled, I am at least in a wonderful hallway of black stone, and maybe the best bathroom in the Western world.
You boys, excuse me, I have to powder my knees.
Well, let me escort you to the facilities.
Hey, the party's pooping out on me. What's happening? Hey, Blutwurst, come on over here, see? I need somebody to talk to.
Oh, doctor, you don't need to go with me, really.
Oh, but I do, my dear. This foreign dancing gives me the fearful shuffles.
Oh, I caught them in Buffalo once. Well, here's the little Sheba's room. Bye-bye.
Sheba's, over here. Sheiks. Well, this must be the gents.
Quiet, Mr. Stones, we have to get out of here or we'll get caught in the rain.
He's occupied. My dear, I'm beginning to shuffle,
I
too.
I saw him come in here, and what goes in must come out. Punch law, lad. By God, I've got it.
And finally, Twist itself. Other suited men are being seated. The folks who know my patronage had come and gone. I'm just another guest. Unlike yesterday's seating and probably the best seat in the restaurant at Le Cirque, I'm given a slightly less spectacular seat. I'm here for Gagnier's food, not his view, though that too. Twist wouldn't know a twist cocktail if it bit their arm off, so I offer them a printout of their house cocktail from the distant days of perhaps 7 years ago, when I first dined here. They scramble about to acquire the ingredients. Gagnier is about as playful a chef as you can get without being thrown out of the sandbox, and his amuses have always been a serious challenge to how far we can let our palates play. They're called canapés here, and they are Parmesan sable, limoncello soufflé, black rice tartlet, parsley puree, parsley sponge, nori chip, masago, broccoli, grapefruit gazpacho, twisted cocktail.
Come on, baby! Let's do the twist! Come on, baby! Let's do the twist! Take me by my little hand and go like this. Yeah, twist! Baby, baby, twist! Ooh, yeah! Just like this. Come on, little miss, and do the twist.
Orange powder, Castelvetrano olive, gin, lime, batonet of celery. And then, it's from the fabled vegetarian menu. My first entree is Chef's Garden, Lindenwood Gelée, baby vegetables, served with lemon sorbet and fromage blanc snow. Yeah, it's really pretty, but I don't eat with my eyes. It's basically a bunch of random words masquerading as a sentence. Raw vegetables? No. When I eat a raw carrot, I know I'm eating a carrot. It had looked like a carrot before entering my mouth. It tastes like a carrot. Numerous receptors look forward to the healthful benefits it will soon provide. When I eat the idea of a carrot and the cuisine I expect of a great chef, that carrot has become a rocket ship, taking me to the limits of pleasure. It ain't no carrot no more. Pierre serves me a raw carrot. Pumpkin and cinnamon royale. Endive, green apple, celery salad, roasted spice apple. It was okay. The apple was really good. Poached egg, spinach velouté, gorgonzola, pine nut croquette, tomato concassé, arugula salad, brioche. I hate poached eggs as much as anyone hates anything. Attempting to eat this reminded me of the Battle of Borodino as described in War and Peace. Potato tuile nave, artichoke cream, cremini mushrooms, sweet onions, marmalade, mixed wild mushrooms. Up there with the best thing I've ever eaten. Considering the vileness of some of the previous dishes, I wondered if Gagnier can still cook. Yep. Grand dessert. Raisins, aloe vera with licorice, kaffir lime vodka coulis, basil lime sherbet, coconut panna cotta, elderflower cream, frozen hearing pineapple, apple tatin, calvados, caramel sauce, vanilla ice cream. The best apple pie I have ever eaten. Texting Fumio this, and she makes some exquisite apple pastries, she wonders what makes it so good. The crust, the apples, what is done to them? It is a miraculous dessert. Mangiani parfait, almond nougatine, bitter chocolate foam, Grand Marnier hibiscus gelée, saffron cake, white almond puree. I'm being geleed to death, thankfully not by Bill Cosby. Some dishes are better than others. They're all really pretty. The lights outside are pretty too, and they're free. If it weren't for the world-altering mushroom dish, I'd probably rate this meal a B- after a rare A meal at last night's Le Cirque. But nothing ever consumed at Le Cirque has been as ridiculously good as Gagnier's mushroomy thing. Good work, Gagnier. The worst of the meal wasn't the food, though the egg dish was truly vile. Not long after I entered, an extremely large man came in with his entourage and sat nearby. I didn't recognize him, though his booming voice sounded as if he were on the radio. Very disconcerting when trying to enjoy a meal and the great view from Twist.
Well, of course, there's the Rush Limbaugh spread. Looks pretty good.
Fort tongue on white, sitting on a half and half sour pickle.
Yes. Yeah, what comes with that?
Well, that comes with a Stanley cup of free range of chicken soup.
I had a solitary cocktail, the passion fruit sour that used to be the house drink, and then a cup of fine chamomile tea with the dessert onslaught. Although two slices of kiwi worked fine for me the previous night, I needed a third slice to bring down the same effects on Wednesday. It began to come on a bit too strong as I used the world's best bathroom.
Now, I am recommending to the kiwis that they change their mascot.
Yeah?
Because the kiwi doesn't cut it. It's cute and cuddly, and these are not cute and cuddly times.
Wait, is it... I'm sorry.
Kiwi's a bird.
What is probably an excellent piece of comedic material, but yeah. Isn't the kiwi a small fruit?
That's what I mentioned to them, that my friends think that it is just that it is a wimpy green fruit that is sliced up next to the blackened salmon. So it doesn't work, right? So they say, what can we do? I say, go back to the Lord of the Rings, who's the meanest motherfucker in the book.
It's a brand
Sauron!
Right. Right.
Sauron!
Sauron!
The Dark Lord, he pitiless. He mean. Yeah. He evil, you know? So, with us, baby, we throw your sorry ass in Mount Doom.
Oh, yeah. That's really funny.
You like it? You think it'll work?
I think
if
it'll
we translated it into Maori, it would be even funnier.
I have to look at myself in the mirror and tell myself I'm not stoned as I prepare to visit a friend at the nearby Aria Hotel.
Bob Dylan's back with the biggest surprise of all. He's learned to sing, sing real good and real high class. He's singing opera, that's right. It's Bob Dylan at the Met.
Hear Bobby singing Oreos from Scorsese, Coppola, B-Day, all in barbarian and German. It's just like the 60s. You can't understand a word Bob is singing, and that's when he's at his best.
It's a beautiful album with pictures of Bob wearing a turban, a cowboy hat, a yarmulke, and a crown of thorns. And who's that singing the love duet with him from Car Wash?
Joan Baez.
Jim Nabors.
So if you're a Dylan fan.
And who wasn't?
Here's one record you won't have to take to church and smash with a hammer.
Available at Crap's Last Tapes, The Cutout Circus, and all 93 Shoplifters Markets.
It's Bob Dylan.
At the Met.
The Aria and its surroundings are wondrous even without intoxicants, but the kiwi makes them even more magical. Then it's back to Alexa for my last flight of sangrias. Will the wines all welcome me this time?
Aren't you John Lennon?
Yes, I am.
I remember you.
Thanks very much.
You were delightful.
You're Orson Welles.
I loved you in How I Won the War.
Oh, thanks very much. How I Won the War. I love your former song commercials.
Thank you, so did I. All that free wine.
He's my Beatle, okay? He's my Beatle.
I
was drunk right now.
I'm not sure when not.
I have the Blanco, Albarino, citrus fruit, and peach schnapps, which, despite its ingredients, is far from good. Then, Pinky Swears, Grenache, Asian Pear, and Hibiscus, which is amazing. Must be the Asian influence.
Hit the dirt! Look out! Was that one of ours?
Yeah. Beans. Last of the beans.
I'm so tired of Chinese food.
Hey, Sergeant Medensky, come over here. We got a problem.
Yeah? What is it, Lieutenant Tirebiter?
Silverberg here won't go over Pork Chop Hill.
Killing pigs ain't kosher, Sarge.
Oh, canned a wise lip, Silverberg. None of us ain't going nowhere until that patrol gets back.
Talk.
Personally, I'm worried about Pico and Alvarado.
Well, don't make a career out of it.
Don't let it get to you, Lieutenant.
I'm all right, Medensky. Listen. Those good boys found their way out of East L.A. They can find their way back into this Gook Valley, right?
Sarge, something's moving out in the woods.
Where?
At Sector N.
Okay, give them the password, Sarge.
Yeah, I better disguise my voice. Hey-ya-jo! Who won a second of World War, you so smart?
Not responsible! Park and lock it!
Hey, it's okay, sir. That's Pico and Alvarado.
All right.
Come on in, boys. Hey, don't run into trenches.
Hiya, guys.
Ah! Oh!
Watch out for that entrenching tool.
All right, stand easy, men.
Head me up.
How was it out there?
Weird. We've been shooting reds and yellows all day.
Oh, boy, am I sleepy.
What about the gooks?
Bad news, Lieutenant. There are gooks all around here.
They live here, Lieutenant. They got women and pigs and gardens and everything.
I was talking to this one little gook.
That's swell, Corporal Kidd, but we got orders to surround these little gooks.
That'll be easy, Lieutenant. There's millions of them on all three sides of us.
That means we got those little gooks right where we want them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and tonight's the planting moon. Several one of them is going to be out waiting in the paddies.
Me too.
While I'm imbibing the tiny glasses of sangria, the owner comes up and talks to me briefly. He's amazed that I've been to his bar three nights in a row and offers me a free dessert. Vegas is very good at comping regulars. I look at the dessert menu and am intrigued by a pumpkin dish. I'd like to compare it with the pumpkin dish I just had at Twist, but alas, there is no more room in my stomach for anything else.
Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival on Halloween night. I hope you will bring me lots of presents.
Who are you writing to, Linus?
This is the time of year to write to the Great Pumpkin. On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of his pumpkin patch and flies through the air with his bag of toys for all the children.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
When you stop believing in that fellow with the red suit and the white beard who goes ho, ho, ho.
The owner flits off, and I'm left with the modern, called the Chef's Whim. It includes aloe and cucumber. Fine by themselves, but not in sangria, please. The bartender is astonished I can identify the ingredients, but the secret to both fine dining and fine drinking is to take notes. The last sangria is, alas, nothing notable. I only finish the pinky swears, and would order it the next time I'm in Vegas, along with the moonshine and the bubbly, which the owner tells me is his favorite, too. I consume a small quantity of the sangrias, just enough to form an opinion of them, and then leave them to their watery dreams of sun-soaked Spain to return to my hotel.
Oh, that was so much fun.
It's still tasty.
Last week, the four of us in the Fire Saint Theater were invited to a holiday fundraising event at the Rising Gorge. You've heard of it? California chef Mario Bastardi's newest West Side eatery.
Well, it was called a wine testing, since these vintages had been acquired haphazardly from yard sales of indicted CEOs and busted.commerce.
Yeah, they were offered to us by the glass, cup, or hand, and they featured Peter Sellers' estate sale recorked sherries and half-drunk bottles.
Or a barrel, a cask, or a Little John from Sherwood Forest's Robin Hood wine.
Which went from the rich to the poor.
I tested the Jekyll and Hyde Lab shards.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they'll kill you.
Yeah, it did taste a bit doctored.
Hey, I decanted an unlabeled bottle of Flooded Cellars Mixmaster's Choice.
Ooh.
And I took sips from a six-pack of premium vintages like Michael Jackson Nubile Moonwalk Whites and the Cabernet of Dr. Caligari.
Spooky! Since I brought my boys along, I opted to stay with the theme park rosé, the Fiddle-Dee-Dee Lakesbill Merlots, and the Roller Coaster Reds, which, made my head spin.
Well, then I went on to the Pinot Cinema Noir, but I passed out after the first sip and someone stole my glass.
For dessert wines, they offered any port in a storm.
And a Godfather Grappa.
Which we couldn't refuse.
Afterwards, we sat with the owner, Mario, for a photo op and nursed some Grand Canal sparkling sewage water.
While the great man caressed a snifter of rare Loch Ness Triple X 12-year-old girly 10-years-to-life chocolate malt scotch. Ooh.
I think we're all still nursing a hangover.
Well, here, have some Hair of the Dog, Phil.
Hey, pour me a Boxer's Rebellion.
Well, I would have a borderline collie.
For me, some Rottgutweiler.
Ooh, that's got a bite.
I am not awakened by invading strangers. I sleep well.
Tuesday, Paddock returns to Mandalay Bay, where a different bellman helps him move seven more suitcases. Thursday, he brings a white container and three more bags, and over the weekend, two more trips home. In all, at least 21 suitcases plus smaller bags are brought to his 32nd floor suite, as Paddock gradually amasses 23 guns and thousands of rounds of ammo.